The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. Dr. Steve Pettirudi from Intellectual Medicine. Here with you this morning with Shannon. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
How are you feeling today?
Feel great.
Isn't it a great day to be a Rhode Islander? Southern New England, folks, is nothing better. Nothing better. We were in Aruba recently. That's right. Shannon and I were there on a fact-finding mission. Isn't that what they call it when politicians travel?
That's right.
It was a fact-finding mission. Well, I don't know. Where else should we go to hunt for facts, Shannon?
We are the fact that it was 85 degrees and sunny every day.
We should go to a fact-finding mission in the Bahamas. What do you think, Nick? We got to go out there and we got to hunt for facts.
Well, you're not going to find too many around here from any politicians. So.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. There's a lot on my mind today, folks, so stay tuned. We're going to tie together the Superman building with the 38 Studios fiasco, with the Invenergy, and with the immunization mandates. There's a common denominator, and if you hang on to your seats, we're going to link them all together. And then we hope to hear from one of the most interesting people in our world, that Intellectual Medicine. And Nick, let me know that we've got confirmation of our guest so that I can highlight her. In the interim, though, Nick, how are you feeling this morning, buddy?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Now, you are a student, isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Now, when do you graduate?
I got two hands of fingers crossed here. May.
In May. So a beautiful thing happened recently. I came downstairs, and there on our tabletop was Shannon's diploma as a registered, certified, board-certified nurse practitioner. You know, I knew it had happened, but there's something very tangible about seeing that document. It'll be a great moment. It was a great moment. How'd that feel, Shannon, looking at that thing?
It was. Official. That was kind of like, okay, like you're real now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ready to contribute a lot to the health and well-being of you folks in Rhode Island at Intellectual Medicine. We are committed to helping you live better, live longer. We are committed to helping protect you from some of the more harmful aspects of medicine that is being promulgated and to connect the advances in science with the sluggish pace of medicine itself. But anyhow, first turning our attention, you know, a beautiful thing about living in New England, this is, I think, the greatest place in the world to live. We live in the most gorgeous part of the country. We have oceans, we have mountains, and I'm looking out the window now and I see clean air, blue sky. Isn't that great? Blue skies, clean air, and clean water is good business. It drives the economy of areas. You want to kill an economy? Stink up the air and the water. Now, how in the world is it a good idea to put Invenergy's pollution-spewing power plant in the middle of the most populous state in the Union? We have more people per square mile than anybody in the whole country, and you're going to put a pollution-belching power plant that nobody needs or wants? And here's the thing that kills me, and here's a common denominator, folks. Nobody can stop it. The governor doesn't have the power to stop it. You know why? They delegated that power to a bureaucracy. And literally, I heard the governor reported to be said that she can't stop this thing. It's not in her hands. What's wrong with a democracy when a company has the capacity to foul up our air and we have no say in the process? Nothing. Folks, you need to contact your representative and the governor. And we need to stop this thing from happening. Okay, let's draw an analogy. We recently had our septic system inspected, and it passed. That was a good thing. But it cost money to protect the environment. It cost money to handle that sewage correctly, doesn't it?
It does.
The sewage is the normal outflow of human activity. Now, wouldn't it be much cheaper, Shannon, if we just had a pipe going into the street, and when we flushed the toilet, went right in the road?
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be cheaper?
It would.
You know, once upon a time, folks, that's how we handled our sewage, until we got smarter. We're doing the same thing now with our air. We're flushing the toilet right into the air. We don't have to do this anymore. Rhode Island can be the windmill state. I don't see any smokestacks coming off windmills. Do you, Shan?
No, haven't.
I don't see any smokestacks coming off solar panels. I don't see any smokestacks coming off of hydroelectric energy. You know, once upon a time, Rhode Island in southeastern New England was the epicenter of the Industrial Revolution because we had so much water power that it could generate energy for the plants that were manufacturing the goods that were being made at the time, the textile industry. It's terrible. Look, let's stop with the 1970s energy already. The only people who benefit from this is Invenergy. And the reason that they can jam it down your throats, folks, is because your government abdicated leadership into the hands of bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is where leaders, cowardly leaders, go to hide when they don't want to make decisions. Now, let's connect it for a moment to this whole UHIP thing. The UHIP crisis continues to roll down the hill. And this is what I don't like. The director of the Department of Human Services, Roberts, had to resign. Like, why? I get it that this was a bad idea. How does a person resigning help solve the problem? You know, if you develop a culture where a mistake means loss of your job, you're more likely to hide minor errors. That's been proven. And I say, let her stay and work through the problem. You know who the problem belongs to? Deloitte. They're the guys that sold us this hunk of junk. And in my view, the attorney general should be suing them for misrepresentation. I want our money back. What's that, $240 million, Nick? $240 million.
I think it's $360 million.
Holy cow. Now, let's connect that. So you got a bureaucracy behind UHIP, a bureaucracy behind the Burrville Power Plant, a bureaucracy behind the Department of Health that's forcing you to take drugs and immunizations that you may not choose to have. And in a manner of speaking, it becomes taxation without representation, because when the Department of Health says everybody has to have this shot, they're forcing expense upon the citizens. Now, I'm not against immunizations. What I'm against is totalitarianism of bureaucracy. The state and the representatives should be the ones who, through a democratic debate and a vote, will decide what we put in our bodies. I am calling upon the state to wrest back from the Department of Health the authority to decide what goes into our bodies. The Department of Health should make recommendations to the state where it should be debated in public and voted upon. That's what we're advocating for. Anyhow, the Superman building. So here we go. You know, in medicine, there's a phrase. It's called an IGBO. It's capital I-G-B-O, and it stands for I got burned once. What it means is, I did something, and it didn't turn out so good, so now I'm going to run and hide. You know, in medicine, unfortunately, everybody dies, and everybody gets sick. So when you think about it from that perspective, we are always on the losing side. Even though we advocate for a robust lifespan, at some point God calls and we answer. And we're subordinate to that. In the context of that inevitability, occasionally there's a fear factor. Gosh, maybe I did the wrong thing. The IGBO factor. And you can shrivel up and quit doing stuff. Well, that's what's happening in the Superman building when we tie it into 38 Studios. The state government made a mistake. They gave money to the wrong entity, and it got somewhat squandered. They got burned. It does not mean that the state should turtle up and bury their head in the sand when it comes to an iconic building that is representative of the entire state of Rhode Island and is crumbling in front of our eyes. Could you imagine the Empire State Building crumbling and them doing nothing about it? I'm calling upon the state to link up with private business to, number one, sue Deloitte and get our money back. Number two, apply that money to help subsidize the Superman building's renovation. You want to renovate Kennedy Plaza? Renovate Superman building, right? It's so obvious to me. Anyhow, how are we doing here, Nick? A couple of minutes left. So these things tie together because our health is tied into our environment. And the cleaner our environment is, the less fossil fuels we burn, the less our chance of getting demented, the less our chance of acquiring cancer, the less our chance of living a diseased life. Unfortunately, we live in a polluted world. And unfortunately, the healthcare system is designed as much to extract money from your wallet as it is to deliver health to your body. It has become a reactionary entity that, by and large, just steps in when things go wrong. You know, after this break, we're going to be talking to to Jean, and a very progressive thinking woman of 85 years old now, came to seek us out because she wanted to live stronger and better. You know, we talk a lot about anti-aging and life extension because we live it and we believe it. But folks, it is not the exclusive domain of the youthful. It's always true that the sooner you start, the better. But there's never a point at which it's too late to begin living healthier. And I sometimes get that question, Doc, at what point should I stop doing my anti-aging therapies? I said, when they close the lid. That's it. You keep going. So when Jeannie comes after the break, she's going to share with us a little bit of her story. I'd like you to stay tuned because it's a compelling story, and I hope it motivates you to think about your own life. I'm Dr. Pedderini. This is Intellectual Medicine on WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. Bingo and rock, we're pushing out X-ray. And we are back. I'm Dr. Pedderini here with Shannon and Nick behind the glass. And in a moment, we'll be talking to Jean. She's going to share with us her story of revitalization. We have anti-aging medicine through intellectual medicine, and then there's an aspect of what we do called regenerative. Folks, there is so much out there in the scientific domain that can be brought to bear to help improve, support, and enhance your quality of life. It just goes beyond the envelope of conventional medicine. As good as your doctors are, and as good as a healthcare system is at putting out fires, they're not often capable of delivering that better health that you want. So we're going to be talking to Jeannie in a moment. But Nick, first I got to put in a plug for you, brother. I think you do a great job behind the glass. And if anybody's listening and want to hire a great, hardworking, reliable employee who takes initiative, he's made the show better. He always shows up. I'm giving you a free plug here, bro.
I appreciate it.
Well, you know, just pick up. If they don't keep you in this station, it's their loss. But you're
going to have
a great career.
I have to say, I'm very happy here. Yeah, I like this station.
Well, I like to see you stick around. So, folks, call up and tell everybody at WPRO you want to keep Nick behind the glass or maybe on the mic. Anyhow, good morning, Jean. Thank you for joining me. You're on Intellectual Medicine. How are you feeling this morning?
Good.
Now, Jean, have you lived in Rhode Island your entire life?
Yes.
And in the span of your life, how old are you now?
I'm 85 years old. I'll be 86 this coming June.
This coming June. Can we have you back on in June? I wish you a happy birthday. Would that be okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, you've lived here a long time. In your span, what are some of the most, what changes have you noticed in Rhode Island that strike you the most?
Oh, God, I don't know, a lot of things, I think.
Now, Route 95 had to be a big change. You grew up at a time when the Route 95 wasn't even there.
I know. There's been all these highways and new buildings and, oh, my God.
I know. Now, see, when my father grew up, he went to LaSalle Academy from East Greenwich. He used to ride the bus on Route 1 to get to LaSalle. Can you imagine?
Right. We used to drive the trolley cars.
Holy cow.
When we went to school, and we used to have to walk school, come home for lunch at noontime and walk back to school and then come back at 3:30.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So Jean, that's probably part of your hearty constitution, but I'd like you to tell our listeners about what it was that prompted you to first see us back in, I think it was 2015 we first met.
Yes. I had a couple of years, within the last couple of years, I'd suffered from aches and pains or arthritis, and I also have a prolapsed rectum and a bleeding of hemorrhoids, which I almost bled to death. After that, it was all downhill. And then again in February of 2015, I fell backwards down the stairs and broke my neck.
Holy cow.
I was in a brace for about 6 months in a hospital bed, at home with two girls taking care of me 24/7. I have a daughter, Deb, who comes to you religiously and has so much faith in you. And she said to me, Mom, she said, why don't you try this? Because all I was getting was pain pills and sitting in a chair and not being able to be mobile. and I was gaining weight like it was going out of style.
I remember that. I remember when I first saw you, and very impressed by your initiative. And the first time we saw one another, if I can show the listeners, you were 161 pounds,
yep.
51% body fat. Your blood pressure was 165 over 80.
Right.
And you had 39 pounds of muscle on your frame. And you told me then that I enjoy my life. I enjoy my children and my grandchildren.
Yep.
I want to be independent. I want to be able to walk and move.
Right.
Now, how many children do you have altogether?
I had 11 children. Really? I had 7 daughters and 4 sons.
Now, tell us about the time when you lost your husband, though, because I'm very impressed at how you persevered.
Oh, I lost my husband. He was 39 years old. My youngest son was 4 years old, going on 5, going getting ready to go into kindergarten. From there on in, I had to work, go to work. I worked mother's hours in the daytime, did waitress work at night. I've always worked all my life to take care of my children, to keep them all together.
And you've been independent your whole life, and you said, you know what, I'm not going quietly into that dark night. I'm going to fight back.
Definitely so.
And
I kept going and going, and I made a promise that I would keep all my children together under one roof, and we survived.
Now, how are you feeling now compared to where you were when you started?
I feel 100%. I have so much energy. I live independently. I walk for an hour in the morning and a half hour in the afternoon and then a half hour after supper.
Wow. How's your pain level been?
I don't have any pain, really.
That's good to hear.
Yep.
Folks, just for the record, too, Jean, I'm going to update them. Now, remember, she was 161 pounds when she started. Now she weighs 124 pounds.
Yeah.
Her blood pressure went from 156 over 80. It's now 142 over 68.
Right. And I'm off all kinds of medication. The only thing I take is the supplements, which I got from you.
Yep. Off all of her drugs.
Right.
And her muscle mass is at 39 pounds, not an ounce of muscle mass lost. And the fat percentage from 51 to 39. That shouldn't happen. That, folks, is regenerative medicine at its finest. And Jean has the forward-thinking mentality to not accept the inevitable corrosion that too many folks perceive as unchangeable. Now, you've done hormonal therapies. You've done intravenous therapies. You've gotten off your drugs.
Yes.
And life is good. Strength and energy are yours.
Right, because I'm bound and determined I'm not going to walk with a cane or with a walker.
God bless you. That's such, it really warms our heart. Don't you admire that kind of spirit, Shannon?
It is. She's something.
You know, Jean, thanks for sharing this, your story with our listeners. It's very inspiring. And I hope that it inspires many people to realize that the way to manage aging is not to size yourself up for a walker. It's not to cut back on your activity and your independence. It is to ask a very fundamental question. What can I do to preserve and restore my vitality? There's a lot out there, and when properly applied and thoughtfully applied, it can change lives. It's changed Jean's, and Jean, it's just a delight working with you. I want you to have a beautiful weekend. What are you doing this weekend?
I don't know yet. It's nice out there, so I'll be out and about.
That's awesome. Well, thanks. Can we check in again with you in the future, Jean?
Yes, you may, Doctor. I'll
awesome.
See you soon.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Folks, that's Jean and sharing her story. And how are we doing over here, Nick? We're ready to take a break. So we're going to go next to the Seascape News Center with Doug Lizette. Doug, how's things out in the news world?
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
And I am back. I'm back. I'm here with Shannon, with Nick, in beautiful studios at WPRO. Enjoying this gorgeous day. You know, I used to be a quahogger. I don't know if you folks knew that. I used to dig clams. I was a professional shell fisherman. And it was a beautiful calling. I did that for about a year and a half before I went off to medical school. And yes, I am a board-certified family doctor. Although I'm not really part of the club, and I'm not part of mainstream of medicine. I certainly emanate from it, and I understand it, and I study it, and I honor it. Anyhow, there I am on the water digging clams. You know what I saw, folks? Raw sewage flowing by my boat. They used to dump raw sewage directly into the bay, and they clean that up, and they continue to clean it up, and Rhode Island is a better place for it. They're still dumping raw sewage, only it's happening in our air, and I can't help but reinforce this. We need to stop the power plant. We need to call upon our governor and state legislators to step up to the plate. And by the way, term limits are a horrible idea for governors. Think about this. We should do away with term limits because the minute they get elected, they're looking for their next job, and it gives more power to bureaucrats. Anyhow, we just heard from Jean about her revitalizing pathway. So if there are any questions or thoughts that you have and you want to share them with me, we can take your call. What number do they call, Nick, if they want to talk on air?
438-9776 or toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO.
See that? We will pay you to have you call us. How cool is that? So we track the news. We try to keep you up to date. We're trying to protect you from the harm of medicine. And our theme today is the loss of liberty at the hands of bureaucrats. Every time our elected representatives divest power and give it to a bureaucrat, we lose our democracy a little bit. That's what's happened with a controversial immunization mandate from the Department of Health. The manner in which it was imposed on us is just wrong. It should be democratically applied, not bureaucratically dictated. Invenergy should not be able to get approval through unelected bureaucrats for their polluting power plant. It should go through the state house. They've abdicated their responsibility to lead. And here's a place where the bureaucracy is affecting your health directly. And it's in the doctor's office, and it's in the hospital. You know, one of the most dangerous places you can be in the planet is a hospital. They kill people every day. Now, they do beautiful work, but it's gotten sloppier, more bureaucratic, and less personal. You're no longer identified by names, but by numbers. The rooms are chock full of equipment that beeps and bonks, and everybody ignores it. If you're in the hospital, this is what you need to do. You need to have a loved one at the foot of your bed 24/7. They need to ask a question before anything gets infused. They need to ask a question before any imaging takes place. You are the final advocate. You know, my son was in Italy, and he was working in an Italian hospital. And you know we have transport team, Shannon, where they move people around the hospital?
I do.
Yeah. They don't have that in Italy. You know who transports them?
Family,
the,
right?
The family. Yeah. You're responsible to have family members with you the whole time you're in the hospital. That's a beautiful thing. Now let's go back to the bureaucracies. They threw your family doctor out of the hospital. Your family doctor didn't want to quit your care. Your family doctor was forced out at gunpoint. They're not allowed in that hospital. And why? Because they wanted control. They wanted bureaucratic control over the entire process. So your family doctor is no longer at your bedside, and medicine has corroded because of it. Let me share with you a little story, Shan. So there I am early in my career. It's back in the 1990s when utilization review was just starting, and this is when the bureaucrats would tell the doctors how long a patient could be in the hospital. Now, my dad, God bless him, was an eloquent man. He had a way with words. And he was also a little bit, shall we say, affirmative as a patient advocate. And he got a call in his office. I'll never forget because I was there. And the bureaucrat had said to him, Dr. Pederuti, your patient must leave the hospital today. And he looked at the phone, and he had a two-word response before he hung up. He said, F you, and hung up the phone. And that patient did not get discharged, and my father stood by the patient and was their advocate. That advocacy is gone. Your doctor has had the knees cut out from under them. Family medicine has become a tool of the bureaucracy. That's what intellectual medicine is there to fight. Gets me so riled up. You know, because I love this calling. I love family medicine. I love the commitment of patients. I love the ability to be there and have an effect at the times that matter the most. And we have to reclaim that. All right. Anyhow, we do have a caller. Good morning, Ann. You're on Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti and Shannon. How are you doing today?
Hi, Dr. Pederuti. Hi, Shannon.
Well, thanks for listening. What's up?
I have Parkinson's disease. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's, so I don't have tremor. But I have this frozen foot syndrome, and they so I wondered if you had any suggestions.
So you're diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and what symptom is the one that most dominates you?
The inability to walk.
An inability to walk. All right, so let me speak to that for a moment, if I may, and I'm gathering you'd like my thought on that.
Mm.
Yeah. Parkinson's disease is a collection of symptoms. It's poorly understood. They really do not know what causes it. The herald symptom is often tremor, but with it can come loss of function and a difficulty with walking, a difficulty with movement.
Yes.
And as it advances, it can also affect memory and intellect. The problem, we don't know what causes Parkinsonism. We do know that it involves damage to the brain, damage to neurons. In our practice, we focus on environmental insults to the brain. We try to start as young as you can, but even when symptoms have manifested, you have to look at things like heavy metal load. You have to look at things like pharmacologic effects. Sometimes the drugs used to control symptoms do more harm than good. And here's a key element. You may have been listening when Jean came on and we spoke about how we were able to help her revitalize. In some cases, the disease itself cannot be fully reversed, and Parkinson's, by and large, is one of those. We do, however, use high-dose intravenous glutathione to help support our patients. Glutathione is a critical antioxidant. When you have a chronic illness, especially one like Parkinsonism, your own natural antioxidants become depleted, your immune system becomes weakened, and you become vulnerable to other illnesses, including infections, pneumonia, thinning bone, progressive weakness leading to falls and loss of function. So we start by addressing brain health and then reinforcing hormonal therapy and to build muscle, to build strength. My patients battling Parkinsonism, we try to get them to their leanest body weight to make it easier for their bodies to move and to function. I frequently, I'd say almost always, recommend a bioidentical hormone regimen for the purpose of musculoskeletal revitalization. When we put all these elements together, a better quality of life can be obtained, and we attempt to arrest progression of the disease state. There is no known treatment that will cure Parkinsonism, but there's a host of things that can be done to support a healthy outcome. And those are a few of them in addition to doing intravenous chelation therapy, which we believe is an important element of anti-aging therapy for most of our patients. So
where is your office, doctor?
You can, as you come off of the phone, I'll have Nick give you our phone number, and you can give us a call. And you can also check us online. Do you have a computer, Ann?
Yes.
You're a high-tech woman. Shan, how do they get to us online?
It's im-120.com.
And I'd love to help you. I love helping patients that are battling these chronic, untreatable conditions from Parkinsonism to arthritis and helping them to revitalize. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in. How am I doing over there, Nick? Is it time? I got this new time schedule I got to keep adhering to. And I don't want to screw it up here. And I'm not really good at bureaucratic details. I guess you can gather that by now, right? I'm an anti-bureaucrat. I'm a free-thinking, democratic guy. No taxation without representation. Anyhow, we are Intellectual Medicine. Shannon and Steve, with Nick behind the glass, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. We're going to tell you about thyroid and why your thyroid treatment may not be adequate and why you may need it, even if you don't think you do. I'm Dr. Pedrutti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Folks, we are back. Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pedrutti, where you come every week to become more enlightened about what's happening in the world of medicine and how to keep yourself young and vital and healthy despite what's happening around you. You can't rely upon other people to take care of you, folks. The best thing you can do for the people you love is take a page out of Gene's book. Gene, who we heard from today, my 85-year-old patient who is young and vital and independent, the best thing you can do for the people you love is take care of yourself. There are two kinds of people in the world, people who need help and people who give help. Now, they're both beautiful callings, but if you can, you want to be one of the folks who gives help. And if you can't, well, then you're going to be the one who receives help with a gracious heart. And hopefully there'll be those there to give it to you. And one of the ways that you can be alive and well and healthy is to keep your immune system percolating along. Our immune system is invisible. We don't see it. We know it's there when it stops working. There's so many things like that when you think about it, right? Your septic system, we were talking about this today, you take it for granted until it stops working, and then you got a crisis. Your immune system stops working, and we call that an infection, pneumonia, the flu. Worse yet, cancer. Your immune system defends you against cancer. New studies regarding vitamin D indicate that it actually helps to reduce infection. It appears that vitamin D not only is important for your bone health, but also is an immunologic booster. A study out of the University of London found that folks who are on supplemental vitamin D had a 10% less risk of getting an infection. That's pretty big news when you consider vitamin D is so safe and easy to take. Here lies some of the controversy. You often hear your doctor say, well, I mean, if your doctor's not knowledgeable and empathic toward functional medicine, intellectual medicine, and things that can keep you young and healthy, they'll say, well, you know, those vitamins are a waste of money. It's just expensive urine. Well, now we have studies showing that vitamin D preserves or enhances immune function. On top of the studies that we know, it improves bone health. And many studies correlating it with a reduced risk of cancer. How could it be? Well, if your immune system gets enhanced, you're less likely to catch cancer. In addition, vitamin D helps your cells to divide more accurately. It acts as a cofactor when cells divide, preventing mutations from happening. Those mutations can morph into cancer. So I think vitamin D is one of the foundation supplements that we often recommend. The question becomes how much and what should your blood level be? The Endocrine Society calls on a blood level of 30. Generally, it's nanogram per milliliter for the technically oriented. The New England Journal of Medicine advocates a blood level of 12.5. At Intellectual Medicine, we advocate 70. Why so high? Number one, no known toxicity at that level. We've never seen it. Number two, we believe these higher levels are going to correlate with a more robust effect with regard to your immune system, as well as fighting cancer. Now, the National Academy of Science advocates about 600 units a day of vitamin D supplement. 600 units. We commonly recommend 5,000 and above. You do not want to do this type of medicine without guidance and supervision, folks. So find somebody who can help guide your thoughts, and it should not be the clerk at the vitamin store. It should be somebody knowledgeable, a practitioner with a heart and a mind for intellectual medicine to help you with your supplements. It should not be the guy on the internet who's selling the stuff, right? Shannon, who's our sponsor for the show? Who do we get money from?
We keep talking about it. We got to work on that.
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Are we getting money from any vitamin D people? No.
No.
No. Folks, we are your independent voice, and we will continue to be that. So let's talk a little bit. I got a few minutes. I got the big four from Nick. I want to talk about thyroid. In my view and in the view of intellectual medicine, thyroid management is petrified in a method of delivery, of healthcare delivery, that does not fully honor the patient's need. I can't tell you how many times I've had patients come to me and say, you know, doctor, I kept telling my endocrinologist, I kept telling my family doctor that I'm feeling tired, I'm having problems with constipation, my skin is dry, I can't lose weight. And they keep telling me my thyroid's perfect, but how can that be when I have all of the symptoms? We had Dr. Kenny Blanchard on not too long ago, the godfather of functional thyroid treatment. Dr. Blanchard is a very youthful 77 years old. He's up there in Massachusetts, a wonderful colleague, a brilliant mind, and he's been a pioneer in actually putting the patient's symptoms first like we do at Intellectual Medicine. You know, when I was in medical school, Shannon, they always taught us, treat the patient, not the lab, right? Did you ever hear that phrase, something to it? Happens all the time, right? She's agreeing with me. She's nodding yes. But what happens when we get out is we take comfort in the numbers because they're concrete, and we end up losing our focus on the patient. I'm sorry, ma'am, your thyroid studies are normal, therefore we're going to let it be. Well, I'm here to tell you that the thyroid studies can be very misleading. There was a study done where they looked at animal models, and this is apropos for humans, and they found that it was impossible to get experimental animals all the thyroid they needed at a tissue level without combining T3 with T4 in order to get it in the tissue where it matters. You could do a blood level, but that's not showing what's in the tissue. Now, we can't do these studies on humans because the people frown upon us sacrificing humans and dissecting their organs to see if it got there. But this parallels our clinical experience. Many patients who are diagnosed with hypothyroidism are not adequately treated, and many patients with symptoms of low thyroid are not given the opportunity to get treated. And this is where we depart company with our conventional colleagues for the betterment of our patients. We're going to take a call from Ann. Ann from Cranston, welcome to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. How are you?
Not so good, doctor, and I trust you and your information.
Thank you.
I have a very important question. I had an pneumonia shot about 14 days ago, and I was perfectly healthy at the time. I developed on a Wednesday. On a Sunday, I started to get a sore throat, and I started to get a cough, and my nose was running and a little bit of a headache. I've been miserable coughing and coughing with a dry cough ever since.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that happen to you, and that can happen sometimes when immunization shots are given. The element that can activate your immune system from that shot can also create symptoms within you, and I've heard your story before. Now, the pneumonia shot, by and large, is a healthy and worthwhile immunization to get. And your negative experience with it does not mean that the shot itself should be abandoned by all. However, when you're suffering like you are, we have to rally your immune system. We have a drip at our Intellectual Medicine Center. We call it the Shield, that incorporates high-dose vitamin C with glutathione to help fight viral infections and immunologic inflammation like the type that you may be experiencing. So that would be a consideration. If you just stay the course, these symptoms should go away. Fortunately, the pneumonia shot is not one that you have to have repeated. And given your negative reaction, I would not recommend it again for you. But if you're otherwise listening to the show and wondering, should I get a pneumonia shot or not, immunization medicine, by and large, is helpful for most people, but you do want to give it individual thought. Well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening, everybody. I am Dr. Steve Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Up next is Tony DeJesus with the Big Blue Bug Solutions. Tony, I've got a question for you. How high do mosquitoes fly? I want to know, because I want to move high enough where they never bite me again. Nick, thanks for your work behind the glass. Shannon, a beautiful day as always. I will see you folks next week. Thanks for listening.
WEAN FM Wakefield Peacedale. News, traffic, and